Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to the Keith and Kimberly Talk Show, broadcasting here in Tampa, Florida. We just thank God again for another opportunity to be on the airwaves again with His Word, with a vision for the community, and we just thank Him for all of you. Stay tuned. Got an exciting show for you tonight. Welcome again to the Keith and Kimberly Talk Show. This is your host tonight, Bishop Keith L. Irion, hosting from Tampa today. We just thank God for each and every one of you who join us tonight in our studio. Welcome, welcome, welcome again. Today we have community-based radio for you. We're going to try to cover what we believe is a great topic tonight. It's Thursday, it's the 27th. We are live. You're welcome to call in to the show. Our call-in line is 347-989-0220. Again, the call-in line if you want to listen is 347-989-0220 if you want to call in. We're also on Facebook, so if you can find the link on Facebook, you're welcome to follow us and chat with us via Facebook as you listen. Give us your comments, give us your questions so that we may be able to respond to you as we go along in the program. You can also follow us on Blog Talk Radio at the Keith and Kimberly Show. We'll also be on YouTube and any other uploads. Our programming, once recorded, it'll be available for download for further listening pleasure in the future. If you want to send it or email it, the show will be available after the recording. Let's pray right quick so we can open this platform the right way and ask God to intervene for us. Father God, we just thank you for another opportunity to share your word with your peoples. We just thank you, dear God, for all that you've done for us, all that you continue to do. We thank you for the worldwide movement. We thank you for this addition to the worldwide ministry, God. We thank you for each caller, each guest, dear God, and we ask that you use this platform to bring yourself glory and give us, dear God, the tools that we need to be obedient to you and do your will according to your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we thank you again, and we're thankful to all of our guests for joining us here tonight. I believe we have a great topic, one that I believe concerns all of us here in the Tampa Bay area. We're going to have our guests on the show tonight will be Pastor Harrison. Will be joining us, Harrison Soberanos, and our friend Sharaka Davis will be joining us. Both of them are deeply involved in the homeless community, and we want to find out how we as a church can tap into this untapped church, this untapped ministry. We want to find out how we as Christians can be effective in tapping into this underground community here of thousands of people who live in Hillsborough County who suffer from homelessness. You may ask then, what's the untapped church? What's this all about? The untapped church is the huge community of homeless individuals living throughout the city and in Hillsborough County. They are men, they are women, they are family. There are some women with just children. Many different types of family groups are affected by homelessness. And there are circumstances that led these people to homelessness. They range and they vary greatly. Everybody's situation is different. How they came to be homeless, the length of time of homelessness. Some lost their jobs. Some suffered from drug addiction, crack addiction, cocaine, meth, alcoholism, and many other things that may have led them to be in a position of homelessness. Many homeless people are victims of crimes and victims of domestic violence. These are some of the other things that lead people into being homeless because they're trying to escape a bad situation that they may have been in, and they have no other resolve except to leave, and they leave everything behind and become a part of the homeless community. And again, so there's a plethora of different types of people group that make up the homeless population here in the city of Tampa and abroad. Many others suffer from mental illness like depression and being bipolar. So they are homeless by virtue of their mental state. And so many don't have the capacity to facilitate their own regeneration or reintegration back into normal society because of their mental states. And a lot of them, they are without their medication, they are without doctors, they are without health care. And I just think that the church should find a way to be involved in the homeless community. Amen. Quite a few people who are homeless, regardless of popular belief, quite a few people who are homeless, are employed people, but for whatever reason, they can't afford housing. They can't afford the down payment that goes along with getting into a new place or the lights. So many of them don't have the proper credit to get an apartment. Many of them have challenges with their history, their background, their criminal record that won't allow them to find somewhere to live. And so with all of those different things that's going on that make up the homeless population and community, I do believe that Tampa has social helps and things to help many of them, but cannot facilitate and help all of them. And what I'm finding out is that many of them have run their course through the social services that are offered here in the city by way of things like the Salvation Army or the Homeless Initiative and things like that. They've run that whole cycle, and they have no other options now because they graduated out of those programs or that housing opportunity when it comes to places like the Salvation Army and stuff like that. So we just want to make sure in this dialogue that we have a healthy dialogue, that we can share good information, good resources, great opportunity, and see how we as a church can benefit the homeless, and we can benefit from this volume of people, this population here that makes up this underground, untapped church that nobody seems to want, nobody's interested in. Many churches walk by them, they see them laying on the streets, they see them sitting there, and we won't design some type of unified ministry to help the homeless people get back on their feet. And I think it's enough of the homeless people to where many of the churches here in Tampa Bay can be filled, they can be stuffed to the rim if we would go out and just find the people who have the greatest need. To find the people that have the greatest need. So that's what we want to talk about tonight. We want to keep our topic focused on that. We want to keep our topic focused on resources. We want to know where are the resources. We want to know how can we create programming that can not only get the people off the street and give them somewhere to live, but to bring them back to a better quality of life. We need to know where that is, whether they need substance abuse, help, or whether they need just life help, jobs. What can we design as a community of believers to tap into the untapped church? So that's what we want to know tonight. Now, let me share this with you real quick before we start taking our calls. Again, if you want to listen in, you can call in on the guest line at 347-989-0220. We have slots open for you to get in. You can listen, and hopefully we can take a few questions. We do have two guests, again, Pastor Harrison Soberanus will be with us here shortly, and our sister Shiraka Davis will be with us in the conversation here shortly. Let me share another little footnote with you real quick before we start talking to our guests. We need to know the division or the categories of homelessness because it is defined by the U.S. in these two categories mainly. One is temporary homelessness and one is chronic homelessness. And in temporary homelessness, it's a person who may have fell on hard times just for a short time and suffered homelessness for 5, 6 months, 3 months, and don't have anywhere to live. And then with chronic homelessness, we have people who have either been homeless and out of somewhere to live for over a solid year, or have been homeless more than 3 times in 1 year. So we do have we do have different categories of people who have been homeless. I've seen people who have been homeless on the streets for years, many years, and they have been additions to the community by way of the block or the corner or the tree or the curb that they sit on all the time. They have become a fixed thing there, a fixed person there in the community. And you go by there and you come to see them, and when they're not there, you tend to miss them because they've been there so long. And I think we as church people, we as godly people, have to find a way to reach out into this community of hurting people and see how we can help them, see how we can help bring them back, not only to God, but bring them back to life, so to speak, bring them back to livelihood, so to speak. And I think it's not going to be a one-man job. It's not the job of the city. Actually, God didn't give that job over to the city. He gave it over to the church. I got a scripture I want to share with you real quick that's going to be a base for us tonight. So all of you listeners, if you have your Bible, I'm reading from Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 through 40, where it reads, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Verse 35 said, "For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, clothed me, I was sick, and ye visited me, I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee in prison, and came to thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my," what? "Brethren, ye have done it unto me." Amen. What a good scripture to use for a base scripture to deal with the homeless. Now we become responsible for them because they are our brethren, and it is our job to at least find a way to feed them, find a way to clothe them, find a way to give them somewhere to live and keep them out of the elements. I have seen people who have sleeping under the bridge for years and months, and nobody goes to talk to them. No church people go and talk to them and see what we do. I'm sure some people out there, I'm not going to say anybody, but for the most part, it's way of far too many church people who, if everybody went by one day and gave assistance, it would lighten the load on the one person that's bringing assistance all the time. Amen, somebody. So we want to make sure that we look into these kind of problems that are affecting our community and be the kind of church that Jesus Christ called us to be, a real church with a heart for people, with a compassionate spirit for people, that can really get out into our community and see what we can do to change the community under the banner of Jesus Christ. And I know we have a lot of different programming, but the programming that we have is not designed around fixing lives and influencing lives. Then it's not a good program at all, because that's all God is concerned about. He's concerned about us fixing lives. He's concerned about us being compassionate to one another and allowing our gifting and our talents and our money to bring him glory by us being the helper of our brethren. That's what this scripture is telling. Then he said he'll remember that about us, that we did that. He'll count it as we did it right to him. So when we feed and when we clothe and when we visit those in prison and we give food and clothing and shelter to those, he's saying it's just like you did it unto me, if you're doing it with the right kind of heart. This is what I like about Christ, his compassion for us and his compassion for the people that he loved, which he's actually in love with all humanity. And we should, in turn, have that same type of fever, that same type of fervor in us, the heat that drives us over to this position of compassion, so we can reach out and stop passing by this untapped church, this community. Now, one more point, and then we're going to get our sister online, Sister Davis. I believe she's waiting on in queue for us. We're going to get online in a minute because she has a great program that she is building for the homeless, so we want to talk to her here for a minute. But I want to say this this point here, that when we as people gain a heart for people, then we can be a blessing to people. But it's hard to bless people when you don't have a heart for them, when you don't have the compassion to be patient enough with them while they're in the process until God brings them through the process. we need to have a family, a group of people that's out praying for them, and not only praying but doing, and giving up some of the luxuries of your own life to be a benefit to some other people who are less fortunate, or whoever got themselves in the situation, how the circumstances came about, whether it be through drug addiction, whether it be through the loss of income, whether it be through domestic violence, whatever it may be, we need to have the compassion in our hearts that says to us, you know what? We have to reach out beyond what we normally do and find a way to tap in to the untapped church. This is a whole church community that can be brought alive. I heard one writer say, God asked him, can these bones live? These are dry bones in the city that need to be revitalized. They need to be touched with the hand and the finger of God. If there were ever any people who were disposed and displaced, it is these people here who need us. They are straggling. They are drug addicted. They hungry. They are without. I seen them sleeping under the bridges. I seen them sleeping in the park, out in the elements, sleeping on the boat. Anywhere they can catch a nap is where they sleep at. So we have to find some kind of way to work together, I believe, as the body of Christ, to be effective with this type of ministry and this type of vision. So at this time, again, the call-in line is 347-989-0220. The lines are open. We're going to get our first guest in, which is Ms. Sharaka Davis. She's going to come in and she's going to chat with us a little bit about some of the things she's doing in the community with our homeless shelter and with her homeless initiative. Sister Davis, are you online with us?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. How you doing this evening, my sister?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm great. I'm good. We're so glad to have you here on the Keith and Kimberly Talk Show on this big Thursday night. So, again, tell us about what you're doing to help the homeless. Tell us the name of your nonprofit and the homeless. Tell us a little bit about your initiative, what you have going on for the homeless population, this untapped church here.
The name of my shelter is Faith and Promises Life Challenges. The organization's main endeavor is to become a facilitator to provide transitional housing, education, and training and other classes as needed, such as health, dental, and in some cases, job opportunities, as well as life-changing workshops and seminars to empower the participants to be rehabilitated into society and desire a better future for themselves and their offspring. My vision is to provide a safe haven for everyone and their offspring, teach them the Word of God in a practical way so that they can apply godly principles and learn skills to be equipped to successfully be reintegrated into society with a new perspective of how to face life challenges with great expectation and conviction of self-confidence and ability to succeed regardless of their present circumstances, as well as vital need to raise their children in the revital fear, knowing God, the Lord as a legacy to create a life-changing experience and a better quality of life for themselves and generations to come.
Amen. Amen. Now, my sister, we thank you for that quick overview. Tell me about your shelter and where it's located at right now and how you get the people, the tenants that you have at your shelter.
I'm located at 9816 North 10th Street, Tampa, Florida, 33612. My phone number is 813-735-2361. When I first started learning how to open my shelter, I began to network then. The people that are calling me from 3 years ago. They say they've been having my card, and they still are in need of help. So when they call, if I have beds available, I tell them to come. And
okay,
I just
and then what kind of... Go ahead.
I just took in a young lady that has been going to college. She's not from here, and she's been sleeping on the bench and getting up every day going to school. She had just got a job 2 days ago, and her supervisor had my card from 2 years ago, and she called me and told her to bring her.
Amen. So what other, besides housing, have you moved in the direction of programming and then seeing, you know, the tenants in your house become self-sufficient? Are we moving towards self-sufficiency? If somebody came over there, what could they expect from your program in the house over there?
Well, when the tenant, when the clients come, I talk to them and find out what are their needs. And then we begin to work on what they need. And we take care of one thing at a time. If they need to get their ID, their personal stuff situated, we take care of that. Then we try to find jobs for them. And anything that they need, we try to meet that need. But my most important goal is to reintroduce them to God.
Amen. 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 And that's super important, my sister, because what God wants to do with us is use us to be a light in the world. And everything
Amen.
That we do, we should be being lights in the world so that God can continue to bless us and bless other people through us. Amen. That's super, super important. So I just thank God for what you're doing over there. I want you to stay on the line with us as we talk to a couple other our guests so we can get some more information of how we can continue to help this homeless society by being a blessing to them and really working together to integrate ourselves into this community and then to bring them back to a place to where they can function properly in society. Amen. We're looking for our other guests to come in queue with us so that we can get some information from Pastor Harris. If you're out there, Pastor Harris, text us at 813-304-5090 so that we know you out there so that we can get you in on the program. Amen. We got a lot of callers in queue right now. So y'all be patient with us as we are formatting this show. We just want to be patient. I want to hear from some people. I'll open up the line to hear from some people about what they think are great ideas of ways that we can help the homeless recover from where they may be at in this time in life, or if they have any information that they can add to this conversation. And since I don't have your name in queue, I'm just going to utilize the last four of your number. When I open you up to the line, I'll just use the last four of your number to open you up to the line, and then you can comment. So I'm going to be open up the line to call the 2721 at this time, and then you can give me your comment if you have one on this topic of the Untapped Church. Call, are you there? Are you there? You're live, caller 2721. Amen. So we just thank God for all the comments, all the questions that we may have. Y'all be patient with us as we're designing the formatting for the show. So listen, how can we, let's think about us as a church, community, of how we can get together, what programming we can do as a church body, as believers in Christ, to help our homeless people. I want to know about some church programming, some Jesus-led stuff that we can do as a team to help our homeless community. Amen? That's super important that we find a way to bring those people back full circle. I think, number one, we can go out, we can preach the gospel to them But outside of preaching the gospel, they still need resources. They still need help. They still need housing. They still need clothing. They still need food. They need to be able to be integrated back into this society. And I think for the most part, we may be failing them at helping and assisting them to integrate back into society. So as I go down and I ride downtown and I see all of these people who run at you when you come up with food or you come up with packages, I see them run to us, and my heart goes out to them because I have a warm house to go to. I have somewhere to live, somewhere to stay. I have food, and my heart goes out to them because I try to find a way that I can get better involved in the homeless community. Amen. So if we got any comments, any questions, any resources that are helpful, I'm going to call the 1522. It's 1522. So if you're calling the 1522, the last four digits is 1522, you're live now. Call the 1522. If you have any comments or questions or resources that you can add, you're live now on the Keith and Kimberly Show.
Good evening.
Call the 1522.
This is Apostle Pavin. Can you hear me?
Hey, Apostle. How you doing today, my brother?
I'm doing good, man of God. I was just listening in. What I think would be, I visited Salvation Army over there one time, and I think a good idea would be for like on Saturdays, Sunday, or Saturdays, to bring the tables, if churches can connect, but bring our tables, and churches put the resources, cook, perform it. And just come out and feed them. You don't necessarily have a place to inform people because it's many of them. I think just coming out and feeding, you know, we see Jesus fed the multitudes. And I think, you know, feeding them, I think that would open up the gateway for us to minister to them and give them the information that they would need to go a step further. So I went out there one weekend, and I blessed the way that I could bless. But being that you're talking about this in my mind and in my planning, I was wanting to get some tables and get someone to do some cooking, you know, big pans of chicken and beans and rice, paper plates and stuff, and just kind of go out there and set the table up, line them up, and just feed them. So feed them, let them
right.
eat. And, yeah, I guess whatever information whoever is there then could give them to go to the next level. I think that would be a tremendous help.
Okay. And that I think, Apostle, is a great way. We actually at Worldwide International Church have a new ministry that we designed called After Dark. Ministry, the After Dark ministry, because we came to the conclusion that most of the homeless have eaten either breakfast or lunch, and then at about 7 or 8 o'clock, they don't have anything else to eat and nowhere else to get it from. So we was designing the After Dark ministry so that we can go out and do exactly what you said. I think it was Wednesday night. We wanted to team up with some people and go out there. Actually, we already got chicken in the freezer that we wanted to utilize to go out there, fry it up, take it over, have us a quick service, pray for these people, love on them, and really let the ones that come with us bring these resources that you're talking about. Bring the resources that Sister Davis talked about. Bring it with you in your hand so that we'll have it with us to give them, to try to start moving them towards a new dimension in their life, a new level in life. We're going to take another call. I believe I got my sister, Sister Green, on the line at 0896. So we're going to hear from our Sister Green real quick if she have any questions or comments. Sister Green, you there?
Hi. Yes, I am.
Hey,
how you doing, brother? Praise the Lord.
Welcome to the Keith and Kimberly Show. We bless you tonight. What can you add to us about the homeless and what we can do as a church to better help them become reintegrated back into not only home, the house or regular society, but also into the churches? What can you add to this conversation that'll be a blessing to us? I believe it will be.
I think that that it would be the old-fashioned method, which would be love. You know,
amen.
There's quite a few reasons I believe that people are homeless. You know, you can choose, or maybe even all of the above. You know, whether it be just losing their homes, or maybe mental or other kind of problems that they might be having. But brother, I was homeless myself one day. You know what I mean? I found myself homeless at one point. And when people reached out to me and opened their doors to me, you know, there was a place called Alpha House. It was home for pregnant women. And, you know, that place helped me get saved. You know what I'm saying? So that made a really big difference in my life, you know. I got a new home now. I got a degree now. And, you know, and if you ask me, I would say that one of the reasons why I was homeless was so that I can talk to homeless people and tell them there is a way out. I think that a lot of people need to reach back in their own testimony. You know, not everybody has been homeless, but I believe we all know how it feels to be without as something. So, you know, I think that one of our main things is to just reach out and love. You know, don't walk past them. You know, don't be too quick to judge them, because we don't know their situation. Not everybody's on drugs. When I was homeless, it wasn't because of a drug habit, you know. I had very few family, and I had to move from place to place. But a lot of people are in a lot of different situations. One place that I worked for the homeless, was a place called Christ-Like Ministry. It was a place for men, and it was a, you know, halfway house. And, you know, it gave the stages of Christ. You know, you go through the Roman Trail, you know, they stay 6 months or more, and they help to build them and then transition them into places that they can stay permanently. And they work with them through the Word of God. You know, so, you know, me personally, like I said, because of my own experience, I try not to even walk past a homeless person without talking to them and giving them an encouraging word. And let me tell you, I hug them. Even though they might smell bad or, you know, whatever, you know, they might not have even the best attitude, I let them know that they're loved, you know, so that when I might not have a place to put them in, but when a place does come open, you know, and they might see a hope to say, you know what, there are nice people out here. There are people out here that do care, because this person didn't even have to hug me, didn't have to take the time to talk to me, you know, or give me a dollar or whatever, because I tell them straight up, a dollar can't help you, but I know somebody who can, and that's Jesus. I take the time to pray with them. Apostle Tammy Robinson, once I heard her say, how could people have not enough sense? People don't have enough sense. They just walk right past a homeless person. That's the perfect person to pray for. You know, we're in that path so that we can make a difference in their life through Christ. So as believers, I don't think we should be walking past any homeless person. You know, I believe that we should be praying for them. You know, obviously, if they don't want us to pray with them, pray for them. You know what I mean? Because we never know when the Word of God goes through, the power of God is at hand. It's not us doing it anyway. It's Jesus. So I don't think we should ever walk past any person that we perceive as homeless. And, you know, whether we know their story or not, and not pray. We know when somebody's in distress. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of different programs that I don't know about, but I'm learning through listening to your program, and I thank you. I thank you for a program like this. You know, I know it probably would have helped me out a lot, you know, when I was needing one. So I'm sure it'll help out a lot of other people. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. We thank you dearly, my sister, for being a contributor on our program and just talking to us for a few minutes about what you believe we can utilize. You know, nothing beats love, nothing beats compassion. And I really think she's on a good point here, because you don't see enough of us Christians, when I say us, get out and interact with the homeless. We don't get out and interact with these people and try to show them the love of God, talk to them and build a relationship with them, some kind of way to let them know that the church here in Tampa, Florida is concerned about them. Amen. So I got another call on the line. I believe I got Minister Ham on line. I'm going to bring him in and get his comments about the homeless situation, or whether he has a resource or a question for one of the previous people that was on the show. So at this time, I'm going to get him online. This is Minister Ham. How you doing, my brother?
Hello, Bishop. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, my brother. We're talking about the untapped church, talking about the homeless community tonight and how we as a church and a community of church goers can tap into this underground church of people who really need our love, our compassion, our resources, and the hand up that I believe God wants them to give us. We base this theology off of the scripture that we read earlier over in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 35 through 40, where we are indeed our brother's keeper, and it's our job to go after those and feed them and clothe them and love on them. What's your comments about that, Minister Ham?
Oh, yes. First, I'd like to take my hat off to you for doing what you do, because it's really, you know, rolling the sleeve up type of work. Ministry is work. And everybody don't want to do that type of work. It takes a special type of person to do this work. And I just really take my hat off for you and your wife and your ministry. I love you. I've been involved in ministry a couple of times. But, I agree with you. I really do agree with you. I look at that the church is really responsible. We're responsible. Because not the government. God is holding us accountable for actually going out doing it. And this is why, one of the reasons why Jesus died on King. This was his ministry. It wasn't necessarily his purpose. His purpose was to die, but his ministry was to come here and seek those who were lost. And when he died, he left that work for us to do. So we're supposed to do this work. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, if my people will call by my name and humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, you know. And what happens is the church is responsible for getting themselves right. There's a part of Tampa that have in a five block radius have more than 15 to 20 churches in a five block radius. But that's one of the worst parts of town. See, that's unheard
Amen.
Of. We should be ashamed of ourselves. So
Amen,
I'm saying it's more people, we should have more ministries like this that will actually go out and say, you know what, somebody loves you. Look at that person. Look at that homeless person in the eye and say, somebody loves you. Because when you do that, the Bible says, when you do that to the least of these, you have done it to me. So I agree with you. I love that ministry. Like I said, I talked to you before. I truly want to be a partner that would go out, because I'm like the lady that was before me. I was homeless myself. But
Amen.
God had really blessed me and my family to do better. But I think I'm not going to take all the time, because I know you have other callers. But I really appreciate what you're doing, Bishop.
Amen. Well, we love you, my brother. Tell us real quick about the resource that me and you talked about that you're willing to do for our church. Just mention that right quick, because I want people to hear that it's people out here who are really trying to help. Kind of share that what you and I discussed in brief about you getting the people to church for me. Just tell them about that real quick.
Okay. Me and you would talk about soon, I own a service. I had come from a long way. I'm not bragging, but I'm bragging on God. I was homeless. I was on drugs. I was messed up, tore up from the floor. I was outside sleeping on cardboard. But now God had got me. I own my own bus service. I own a 47-passenger tour bus. And I now have my own business. So I want to put back into the community. I want to use that bus to go out and grab some of these people off the street, put them on that bus, and bring them where they can be fed at, teach them, feed them spiritually and physically, and take them back.
Amen. Amen. That's what we want to hear, man. See, it's brothers like you that we really appreciate, my brother, that really want to not only talk, but they want to walk the walk. And here, that's your part. My part is to teach or get this kind of resources out and connect us. We got the apostle on the line who's an awesome man of God, Sister Rashima, who has dealt with this community and has a lot of experience in the community, and Sister David. This is what the platform of the Keith and Kimberly Show is all about under the banner of Worldwide International Church. This is how we want to take our ministry worldwide, by partnering with you and different people so that we can be effective and not just be the church that has been mediocre, that's been lukewarm for years and years and years. Tampa has to change. It has to be transitioned. We got to move forward. So let me take this other call again, my brother. We love you. Stay on the line. We got a few more minutes in the show. Stay on the line with us, man. I may get you back here in a few minutes, but we love you and we definitely appreciate you.
God bless you, Bishop.
Amen. We're going to shift to our next call. We got Minister Jed Williams online. He may want to add something to what we're talking about the homeless situation here in Tampa, and how we as the church unified can help assist or any program or resources or comments or questions for anybody that's been that preceded him in the conversation. So we're going to get Minister Jed on the line for any comments. Minister Jed Williams, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Bishop. Yes. How are you this evening?
Man, I'm great now that I got you on the line. I'm blessed, my brother. We thank God for you. What kind of comments you got for us tonight about this topic of the untapped church and this whole community of people who are here in Tampa, nobody pays attention to for the most part? And I'm talking, when I say nobody, I'm talking about church people. We have to get busy. What do you have in your arsenal or in your love bag or whatever it is God has given you as a desire that we can use to put down and try to collaborate on to help the homeless?
Well, first let me say, I got on the line late, and I heard the comment about the homeless and the drug addicts. Let me give you a brief testimony. I was there 16 years ago, addicted to a 15-year crack habit that cost me everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. My job, my family, my home, it cost me everything. But it was just the love of God that brought me back to this place I'm at. A homeless situation is a very serious situation, and the church had overlooked it for far too long. You know, as I heard the sister speak about how we just, you know, as Christians, church folks will walk past homeless people like they're not even there, and not knowing that just a word, just a smile, you know, would make a difference in their lives.
Amen.
As far as resources, so far I know that Metropolitan Ministries has the resources for the homeless. Just talking to Pastor Jones, Tom Jones from Heaven Destiny, last night with a situation where we knew a young lady who needed some services. But what I did find is that Metro Ministries will offer 22-day or 21-day vouchers for hotels for homeless and people that without children. We will offer that two times vouchers for hotels for the homeless. You give them an opportunity to find somewhere and other resources. If they have children, Metropolitan Ministries has facilities for the homeless. So there are some things out there that we need to be able to tap into and direct them to when we minister for ministry. You know, I also sit under Apostle Tammy Robinson, and what we do at Well Pavilion Ministries is that once a month we step out of the four walls.
Amen.
And go into the street, go into the community, and talk to whoever we see. You know, whether it be homeless or not. You know, if they're out in the street on Sunday morning, then you know, more than likely they're so that we can reach and bring to Christ. Because, you know, Jesus was not in the four walls. His ministry was in the street, in the communities, to the homeless, to the sinners. That's where he took his ministry. And that's what we should do. We've gotten comfortable, you know, in the four walls. We've gotten comfortable in our own sins and have forgotten what Christ did. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen, bro. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Minister Jed. Man, it's always a blessing to talk to you and to interface with you. And I know you're under a very awesome apostle over there, which is my friend, my sister, Apostle Tammy Robinson. And listen, this is what I would suggest, and this is what we're trying to do here worldwide, is connect. We want to connect with everybody. See, and if we all could bring these resources together just once a month or once a week or however often we can do it all as a family and as a group and bring everything that we have out on the streets into the populace of the homeless community, we could really make an impact on the homeless. And I'm thinking about here now creating some kind of referral to where we have something in our hand that we all carry with us about all the resources that online about my sister Davis's shelter and about whatever feeding ministry Apostle Fabian has and he wants to partner with us on, and whatever resources we can have. Let's find a way in upcoming program and as we talk and negotiate here in the near future to bring all of that stuff together and create something that is designed by God under the banner of the church, as opposed to relying on community resources all the time. And that's good if the community and if the government is helping, but I think we can do more. Now, do not forget that the focus and the format of this show is to have the spiritual component, because all of these people, we want to get them saved. We want to get them saved and we want to get them in church. And I believe some of the thin churches that we have who have low or small memberships, they can benefit greatly from this whole untapped church society if they get out there and they dig into this society and be a blessing to them. But we, just like it's stated and is recognized here with this program, there's no possible way for one of you to do all of what we're talking about. So we need everybody to find a way to work together under one umbrella and bring all the resources together that we can bring together and make for a good church. And I believe that God will be well, well pleased with that. I'm going to go back real quick to our sister, Shiraka. I'm still hoping that my brother, Pastor Harrison Soberanus, calls in on the line so that we can talk to him. He has a men's shelter that he's putting together right now to facilitate men. I really want to get him in on the line. We still have time. I want to go back to Sister Davis right quick. I believe she's still with us, and just get one or two more comments from her about some of the things she has planned for the future when it comes to the shelter. I believe she's still with us online here. Sister Davis, are you still with us? Sister Davis, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, my sister, glad you're still on the line. We just want to ask you a question real quick in the hearing of everybody here. We know that you have one shelter. Tell us real quick in about a minute or so what your plans for the future is when it comes to dealing with the homeless, how you may in the future, if you had the resources, what's your idea to build better programming, or what's your future desire for the homeless, if you will? Just take a minute or so and tell us real quick about that.
My future desire is to have unemployment already established inside of the shelter where we can better help the people to find jobs. I want to create our own staffing agency so we can send them out where they can work. I want to establish budget classes to teach them financial responsibility and how to actually pay their bills. I want to also be able to give them vehicles if they graduate the program so they can keep their jobs. A lot of the homeless Amen. Will get jobs, and when they leave the programs and get into their own place, they end up losing their jobs because the buses quit running at a certain time. So I want to also try to provide vehicles for those who are working, and that way they can keep their jobs.
Amen. What a great goal, my sister. We thank you for that comment real quick. I want to go back real quick, if I can. I think I still got the Apostle on the line, Apostle Fabian on the line. I want to ask him a question. Apostle Fabian, you still there, my brother?
Yes, I'm here, man of God.
Okay, man of God, answer this question for me, because I know you can put it in the proper perspective for you. Let's, in theory here, design in brief in about a minute or so, a spiritual component that we can all utilize to help the home. See, if we all was on one accord doing the same thing, no matter where they went, they could get the same help. You kind of understand what I'm saying? So as a spiritual component for people coming from that, for you know, to the best of your knowledge, how will we move them into a spiritual component that goes with the food, the clothes, and all that? What spiritual beginning can we give them to get them motivated on the road to Christ?
I'm so glad that you asked that, man of God. In brief, in studying, they must. It's important that as we do the natural, we do the spiritual. And the main thing that I've learned and understood is that we must pray and break whatever stronghold that is over their lives. Because, you know, the spirit of poverty, if it's a drug, if we ask them, you know, what was the problem, how you wind up in this situation, you know, as we in conversation, and they say that it's drugs, and if they say that it's a mental situation, it's from there that we move in the anointing and the power of God to break that, because to give you a brief testimony, when I was in prison, you know, they pick up a lot of people in Mexican. And so I took a Mexican inside my cell, and because everybody was putting him out of the cell. So I did the Christ-like thing, and I had a single cell, you know, where I prayed and studied. And I took him in my cell. And when I took him in my cell, the very first night we went to sleep, the Lord opened up my spiritual eyes, and I saw demons jumping all around the room. All around the room, I saw demons jumping around the room. And I jumped up and looked up. When I looked up and went back to sleep, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what did you mean to do? And the Lord showed me that when they go out in a situation like a spiritual component, that needs to happen with them is we have to break the vagabond spirit.
Amen.
It's a spirit of a vagabond. And it has to be broken over their lives in connection with whatever it is that drew them into that situation. And I believe that once that takes place, and we could feed them naturally and bring them where he can sit under the word of God, because Jesus said, blessed is the poor, for they have the gospel preached unto them, and bring them and sit them under the word of God, I believe the word of God will change that situation. I truly believe that. I believe the word of God, if they'll sit under the word of God, we must encourage them to sit under the word of God. And as they come regularly, like the brother, the minister was talking about, picking them up, bringing them under the word of God. You know, the way we feed them first. Don't preach to them. Feed them. Help their needs. You know, that's what James talked about. You see your brother in need. How can you say God bless you and don't try to take care of his needs? Let's take care of the natural needs. Then we must give them the spiritual needs in order for them to stay on track. You understand? Because if not, the enemy going to pull them right back out. He's going to pull them right back out. So I believe that is important, man of God, to bring them into the school that you have, bring them into the church, and then begin to encourage them the necessity to be fed the word of God, because the word of God and the power of God, the only thing that can change them and give them lasting change. That's just my point of view.
Oh, man, how awesome is that from our apostle? Amen. Amen. I couldn't have said it any better myself. My brother, what a great understanding they need. And yeah, I agree with everything that you said right there. Amen. I just want to plug right quick that you cannot and we cannot change lives apart from the word of God. We can give them everything. I see them feeding people. I see them doing all kinds of stuff. But if we don't plug them in with the word, it is the word that changes mind. It is the transforming, illuminating power of the word of God with good understanding that changes lives. Amen. We don't want to feed nobody no watered down stuff. Although they need physical food, they need physical shoes, they need some spiritual food and some spiritual shoes to go with it. Amen. And we have to work on it. And I'm glad I'm surrounded with such a great group of people
that's willing to make sacrifices and willing to go out and do all that they do for the homeless community. And I just thank God for each one of you. I'm going to go back real quick to my brother Ham right quick. Well, I'm going to go to my Pastor Ham last. I want to get my sister Shima back on the line right quick. And I think she deals with an organization over in Sulphur Springs that deals with women and stuff like that. I can't think of the name of that organization, and I don't know if it's appropriate for this conversation, but it should be. Sister Shima, you still there? You still there, my sister? I'm sorry about that. Sister Shima, you still there? Still there, Sister Shima?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Okay. I was asking about the program. You there, my sister?
Yes, I am. I had muted. Go ahead.
Okay. I was asking about the program that you took me over. We went to a couple different places. I can't remember. I think that may have been for mothers and children. But do you know of any other programs that may be available to women on the street or something like that that we can add that everybody can hear real quick that we can use? Just take 1 minute and just tell us if you got anything or any program may have came to mind that could be a resource to us real quick.
Okay. Well, the one that I remember most of all, the best one that I've seen has been Christ-like Ministry. That's a 40-bed facility for men. I think it's even more now. It's run by Pastor Charles. And that's located at 3011 Orient Road, not far from the jailhouse, 33619. That's one facility. It's all male facility. I don't know any for our females specifically, other than, you know, Metropolitan Ministries and, you know, obviously the voucher program, you know, for the motels. But I don't know much about that. I also know another one located in Sulphur Springs. It used to be All Nations. Now it's called Citywide. It's on 12th Street. That one is also for homeless, but it's a discipleship program. So it's not your average homeless ministry, but it does take in people that are homeless, but it's for, you know, the just for discipling, and it's for helping them through their, you know, through their walk with Christ. And they're very strict with that part of it. It's about maybe 6 to 9 months or more long. You know, and they also help people get on their feet and things of that nature. So those are the two right now. One of them is Sulphur Spring. The other one is, I believe that's not far from Orient Road, you know, down from the jailhouse. But they're both very beneficial programs. I heard great things about both of them. And they're both for men. I don't know any for women right now.
Okay, my sister, we definitely bless you and thank you for coming back in and giving us that plug again. We're going to, since we only have like a couple minutes left, I want everybody to stay on the line. I'm going to ask my brother, Minister Ham, Minister Ham, if you're still online here with us, I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to let you close us out in a prayer for the homeless, in a prayer for us as a collective body, as a group of ministers and leaders in this community, that God will give us vision and purpose to help this untapped church. Amen. You there, Minister Ham?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Amen. You ready to pray for us, brother, as we close the program out?
Yes. Do I have just a second to piggyback off what Shima was saying? Just a couple seconds.
Go ahead. You got 60 seconds, brother.
Okay. The Christ-like Ministry, I was actually a graduate from that program back in the early 2000s, and that is a great program. I met her. She was actually the secretary for that program, and it's a great ministry where they go in and they feed you, they clothe you, they house you, they feed you the word of God. And Pastor Charles Patrick is a powerful man of God who's been on the street himself, and God has blessed him. And I'm actually sitting on a chair of just like Ministry Alumni Association, and our next meeting, I'm going to bring to the table that we partner with you in your endeavors and what you're doing
here. Amen. We thank you, my brother. We thank God for all that's been said and done tonight. We bless all of y'all for being a part of the radio broadcast. Bless you. Be encouraged. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.